Blog Talk Radio.
Jean-Luc, Geordi Specs, mysteries on the holodecks, asteroids, triple droids, telepathic betazoids, transporter, deadly claw, visitor from L.A. Law, photons, no Kirk, captain has gone berserk, shuttlecraft, Council Troy, Dr. Crusher's little boy, Klingon rights, parasites, new heights, phaser fights, Data's head, Tasha's dead, Riker's hanging by a thread, celebration, transformations, everyone to battle stations.
Next generation on your favorite station. We start the series, but when we are gone, it appears beyond. We start the series. It's the next generation on your favorite station. We start the series.
Hey, good evening, fellow Trekkies, Trekkers, and sci-fi fans abroad. It's time for another awesomely exciting out-of-this-world episode of Trek Talk and Beyond. Tonight is GM Chris's night off, so you have me, Uncle Jim, and David with you tonight. What we're going to be talking about tonight are the Wrath of Khan OP prize cards, and I believe David also has his hands on the Wrath of Khan OB prize kit, so we may be able to talk about the rules of engagement for the actual game itself. I'm not sure. We'll see when David joins us if he was able to get that information. Also, we're going to talk about Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I went to see it over the weekend, and I wanted to talk about that. And at the end of the show, about 7:15 or so, I'm going to be doing a new show called Rebel Recon, and I'm going to be talking about Star Wars Rebels, the animated series. I'm going to do one episode for each show, and I have a brand new co-host, Sean, and he's going to be calling in near the end of the show, about 7:15 or so, and we're going to talk a little bit about that brand new trailer that just dropped this morning for Star Wars Rogue One, a Star Wars story. So, David, do we have you?
I do believe so.
Excellent. We're going to be changing the format of the show up a little bit, guys. First of all, we're going to cut it from 2 hours to 1 hour because I notice when I look at the shows that most of the people either drop in for an hour and leave or they tune in the last hour and leave. So for that reason, we're going to go to 1 hour, and we're going to go from 7:30 to 8:30 starting next show. Because that gives our fans on the West Coast an extra hour. And if we have a special guest scheduled or something, we can always go the full 2 if we need to. So we're going to go down to 1 hour, and we're going to change the show from 6:30 to 7:30. So with that being said, David, what's going on with the Wrath of Khan OP kits?
So the mission itself is actually really cool. You take a normal 3-foot by 3-foot board, and 2/3 of the board is the Mutara Nebula, and then 1/3 of the board is normal space. So you can choose to fight in normal space if you want, or you can choose to fight in the nebula. And if you're in normal space, you can't mess with the nebula, and if you're in the nebula, you can't mess with normal space. So you can't shoot, you can't use abilities, you can't do anything. So it's almost like 2 separate game boards going on at the same time.
So in other words, both of your entire a ship that you want to attack has to be in the same space as you and vice versa.
Yeah. When you're in the nebula, you don't get any shields. I think you can only attack at range 1. I'm not 100% sure on that. I know range is limited there. I believe it's range 1. And then you get 2 extra defense dice. So it's like a half a cloak. Yeah, it's like a half cloak, but no shield. So it's an interesting scenario. I'm still kind of figuring out how exactly to play it and what I want to do with it. But there's a lot of intriguing ideas with it. So...
Now, can you still do target lock and sensors while you're inside the nebula? Like in the Wrath of Khan, they couldn't use sensors and they couldn't use target lock. so I'm not sure. Anyways.
Sorry.
Still there, David?
Sorry. I had a cough. I had to mute myself. You can't scan. Target lock works a little differently. I think there's a range limitation on it. And then, like, secondary weapons work differently. They will do splashback damage to you. So there's some different things. And yeah, it's very intriguing. They actually put a lot of design work into this to make it really thematic and really true to what the Mutara Nebula represented. And I applaud them for what they did here.
It sounds excellent. It sounds like everything. We're always talking about ships being thematic and games being thematic, and this one sounds like they hit the nail right on the head.
I think so.
What is the participation prize that comes with this?
It's called General Orders. It gives you 5 battle station tokens, and so you can use one after a ship moves if your ship is in their firing arc, either forward or rear. You can place a battle station token from the General Orders card onto your ship.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like I said, limit of 5. The wording there with firing arc means that it won't work against Borg whatsoever. But it's okay. I think it's a very intriguing resource, and it's one that has a lot of people going, I could play that. And of course,
it sounds interesting.
You know, cloaking factions are going, ooh, battle stations. Yes. We love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we actually
have a caller, Dave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I said, and it's the first hour, too. So let's see if we got
online
here.
It's the first 10 minutes.
I'm sorry. The caller went away.
Oh, no. We scared them off.
We scared them off. Hey, caller, just give a call back, 646-668-2433. I looked down at the board, and I saw your number on there, and you hung up before I got a chance to click on you. So please call back. The number is 646-668-2433. And David and I are talking about the brand-new Star Trek II, the Wrath of Khan OP event. We're talking about the game. We're talking about the participation prizes, and we're also going to talk about the prize ship. Well, prize pack, because it's not a ship, the cards that you'll get if you win. So, how about the cards? How are they?
So, they're intriguing. So let me kind of go big picture here. The pack is a USS Reliant. Now, you go, wait, we saw a Reliant pack. Well, yeah, but that was a Federation Reliant. This is an independent Reliant. So there's no miniature here. There's no Miranda-class miniature. But since you already have the Miranda, the Reliant that you bought, and if you don't, you can go buy that one. And if you don't want to go buy that one, that's okay. You still don't have to have a miniature to fly the ship.
True.
That's what I'm telling everyone with all of these. The miniatures are just eye candy. Nothing requires you to have a miniature. And that's something I'm trying to stress here is as long as you have the base plate that gives you the firing arc, the actual little plastic base, which who doesn't have enough of those, and the maneuver dial, you're good to go. That's all you need.
Yeah. You could use an Enterprise. You could use anything, really. Hey, our caller is back, David.
Okay.
Let's get with him before I lose him again. Hello, thank you for calling Trek Talking tonight. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey,
David,
hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. You know, just getting out of work. Thought I'd, you know, give the show a call.
Have you had a chance to play the Wrath of Khan OP yet?
We have it slated for next Saturday.
Oh, same as me.
Next Saturday. And
so,
what kind of fleet are you planning on running in the event, Ryan?
Well, I had David actually help me with that because I've been toying with a couple. But I have it set up right now with a Voyager, a Thunderchild, and Regent's Flagship.
Yeah,
that's a good build.
It'll work well.
Yeah, I was thinking about being, you know, the Hideki fighters might be a good one too, but
yeah,
you know,
because they don't have shield, so you're not worried about losing that.
Yeah, just their target lock, you know. That's but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, now what do you think about the prize pack? Have you seen it yet?
I have. I've seen the cards. I know Star Trek Attack Wing posted a few of the pictures, and they seem kind of interesting. I just like, you know, Independent Reliant would be nice to have.
Yeah, David and I were just talking about that. The Independent Reliant, you don't get a ship, but you should already have the ship from the original Reliant.
Yeah, I have three.
So you're all set.
So I'm all set, yeah. But
you got it,
yeah.
Made.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good. And you're playing next weekend?
Yeah, on the 16th. He's got that one, and then we got the month two in May, so hopefully that'll be fun.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know how you do.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah,
how you thought the game played and how your fleet fared.
Yeah. So.
How you're probably going to win anyways.
I hope so. I mean, the last time I went, when we did the Doomsday, I went 0-2. So.
But did you have fun? Did you enjoy yourself while you were doing it?
I did. I liked it so much. I basically destroyed the Doomsday machine in each of my matches, but by doing that, I kind of let myself vulnerable to the other guy. But
wow, the whole thing is, if as long as you enjoyed it and you had fun, that's really all you can ask for. If you win, that's just icing on the cake.
Right.
Right, David?
Absolutely.
That's what we're always saying. Well, you'll definitely have to call us back next week and let us know how well you did and share your opinions on the game and how you thought it played, if you thought it could have been improved or, you know.
Yeah.
What your
thoughts
were.
Yeah, I'd like to know what I was up against.
Let us know what the meta is in, you know, people were playing Borg, were they playing Klingons, what were they playing, and that type of thing.
Yeah. I definitely plan on taking notes, so we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be interested in seeing how that goes. Now, we're going to be changing the show time. We're going to be on from 7:30 to 8:30 because most of the people that call and listen to the show listen in the second hour. So we're gonna change the show. So next week we'll be on from 7:30 to 8:30 instead.
Oh, okay. So
and we can always go longer if we need to, but we're gonna try to keep it down to an hour. I think more people will download it and be interested if it's only an hour instead of two. So those are the only changes we're gonna make.
I did say, Jim, I liked the show last week.
Oh,
that was kinda funny.
The Klingons? That was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at all. I just joined the Klingon Assault Group, and then I was getting all these emails from all these Klingons and stuff, and I was like, oh, cool, let's do a Klingon show. And before I knew it, I had Klingons all over the place. And I couldn't play my Klingon music because we were saying the name Klingon 15,000 times. so I decided not to. But yep. I will play this for you guys.
Asian Tave Deja E. Asian Sotas Gos Vaskral Vaitik. Epa Jaj Lamos Jaj Pus. Jaj Keles Molo Nihok Chu.
Gosh!
Yeah, we got to get a little bit of Klingon in there. Now, the Klingon show was a very successful show, and the guys that I had on had a good time, so we're definitely going to do another Klingon show. So I'll get that posted on the Facebook page as soon as we get it scheduled. I might do like a once-a-month Klingon show type of thing. You know, it depends on the availability of the Klingons. you know how they are. They're out, you know, conquering worlds and stuff.
Yeah.
So. Well, good, Ryan. Thanks for calling. And make sure you get back with us and let us know how the OP event went for you. And let us know how good you crushed the enemy before you.
I will. Now, how did you like the Batman Superman? I know you guys are going to talk about that too, so that's why.
Okay, all right, we can do that. I did not like it at all. I was very disappointed. I thought the movie was very long and very boring. I thought they spent too much time on Lois Lane and in Egypt or wherever she was with the terrorist, and then in the bathtub, and then with her mother, and then at the Daily Planet, and it was, I just thought, and when the movie opened up with the reenactment of Man of Steel and Bruce Wayne running through the street, pulling people out of the rubble, it just, and Lex Luthor was just a crazy nut job. I couldn't stand his character at all. The story just didn't really make much sense to me. However, I thought Ben Affleck was an outstanding Batman. I wouldn't mind seeing a standalone Batman movie with Affleck as Batman. And I thought that Wonder Woman was incredible. And I would have liked to see them use her a little more, but I understand that they didn't want to get too much into her character because her movie's coming out in the summer, so they want to save that for her backstory. But I wouldn't recommend for me. If it's Redbox, box office, or Trash Box, I'm gonna have to say Trash Box on Batman versus Superman. How about you? Have you seen it?
I did. I took my son to it, and yeah, it was okay. But for 2.5 hours of just dialogue and bad mouthing,
it was a bit long. They could have cut 35, 40 minutes out of that movie, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, like the whole dream sequence, that did not make any sense at all.
No, and I'm not a DC guy. I've said it on the show many times. I'm a Marvel man. But the whole thing with Lex Luthor getting into the ship, cutting his hand open, crawling into this pool of yellow ooze, and then creating this doomsday machine out of General Zod's body, that whole thing just made absolutely zero sense to me whatsoever. I didn't understand it at all, and it made no sense. But like I said, I've never read a DC comic, really, so I don't know maybe there's a reason in the comic books why that happened, but I'm like, oh, wow, you just walk into this pool of stuff, cut your hand, and a monster grows. But I will say, I thought the battle scene between the three of them was really good, was really well done.
As I said, the last 30 minutes was entertaining and enjoyable, but getting up to that point, it seems like they would just kind of throw a movie together just for whatever. But like I said, it'll definitely, you know, keep making money, but, you know.
Yeah. How about you, David? Did you get a chance to check out BVS yet?
I have not seen it. For me, it's Redbox, and you know, everything I've heard about it is just confirming that.
I've been telling people, you know, see it at matinee price, you know, spend $6, you know, don't pay, you know, more than that.
Yeah, and now I'll just watch it in the comfort of my home.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't fall asleep during the first 2 hours.
Oh, if I do, I'll just watch it again. Watch it from where I fell asleep, so.
I mean, it's a good way to tie in the other character. I mean, with the way they did the other characters for this one, I'm like, okay, interesting, but, yeah.
Yeah, so when they showed, when Wonder Woman got her hands on that disc and gave it to Bruce Wayne and he was watching it, we got to see Aquaman, The Flash, Cyborg, you know, when we got to see them all, because as viewers, we know who they are. That was cool, how they introduced all those characters that Lex Luthor had been spying on them the whole time. That was cool. But again, they never answered the question, why was Lex Luthor spying on them? How did Lex Luthor even know that they existed? How did Lex Luthor know that those diving African guys found a piece of kryptonite? And how did he even know that kryptonite was Batman or Superman's weakness? Because nobody knows that. There was just so many questions in the movie that just didn't add up for me.
Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, one of the things that I've heard that gives me some hope is that this movie is purely set up, and you watch it so that the rest of the movies going forward will make sense.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I guess it's worth it. But boy, I mean, spending 2.5 hours on setup kind of makes me cringe.
I had that conversation with somebody. They were talking about the Avengers and how many movies they had took to set that up. And I was like, yeah, but each movie was a movie in itself that was leading up to the Avengers. Batman versus Superman. Come on, people. If we don't know who Batman is by now, you know, what planet are you on?
Yeah.
Everybody knows who Batman and Superman are. We don't need to spend all this time building up characters that we already know. Just get into it. but Affleck, I thought, played an excellent Batman.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually pretty good at it. I mean, he's a veteran, so he knows what he's doing. But
I didn't have a problem with Affleck at all. And I thought that his butler was good, too. what's his name? Alfred.
Butler, mechanic, high-tech guy.
Yeah, he's putting the kryptonite into the bat suit, and he's building the Batmobile, and he's programming the bat jet, and he's doing everything, Alfred. He's not your average butler.
Yeah. Now, do we have a release date for Wonder Woman yet, or is that like next year?
Yeah, I believe that's coming out in the summer sometime. Chris Pine is going to be in that, from Captain Kirk from Star Trek.
Yeah, you can kind of see him in the picture that they found of Wonder Woman. You can kind of see him in the background.
Yeah, he's gonna be in it. Now, what did you think about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman? Did you think she did a good job as Wonder Woman?
I think she did. I mean, she wasn't a lot of Wonder Woman, but she was, I think, just enough to kind of keep us, oh, hey, cool, you know, and then when another movie comes out, he's like, okay, now she's getting her own part, so.
When she showed up at the end, when Batman and Superman got done fighting with each other and she just shows up, Batman says, mm-hmm. Is she with you? And Superman says, I thought she was with you. And then they're like, well, this guy's from another planet. And she says, well, I've killed aliens from other planets. And then she goes right after the dude. I was like, wow, you go, girl.
Yeah. I like how her authentic Asgardian, because of like the shield and the sword and, you know, she didn't use her fist as much.
And did you notice that when Doomsday shot that nuclear blast at them, she deflected it with her bracelets?
Yeah. I thought it was like a shield at some point.
That is too cool. I thought the bracelets were only bulletproof. I didn't know they were nuclear blast proof, too. That's really cool. Yeah, like if you can make it through the first 2 hours of the movie, you'll be fine. It's just getting there. It's very slow and plodding.
Seriously?
You know? But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. DC makes a killer, killer TV show. They got it nailed when it comes to TV. But when it comes to movies, they're a little bit lacking. Unfortunately. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Batman versus Superman.
Like I said, it'll basically make them money to do whatever.
What did your son like it?
Well, it's hard to say because he's eight, and he was like halfway through. Dad, is it over yet? Is it almost done? I'm like, I don't know.
Right,
he was getting
kind of
bored. So.
Well, you're going to see Batman versus Superman. Where are they?
Right.
Yeah. Where are they? Well,
so,
anyway, that's our Batman versus Superman stint. That's all I have to say about the movie. I can't really say any more. We know. If you guys haven't seen it and you don't want to know how it ends, then go away for a second because I'm about to spoil the end of the movie for you. But we all know that Superman's not dead. Because at the end of the movie when Batman and Wonder Woman are standing at the grave and they throw the dirt on there and Batman turns to Wonder Woman and says, we have to go out and find the others and get them to fight. And he says, well, what if they won't fight? And Batman says, they will. Well, when the camera goes back onto the coffin, the dirt that they threw on top of the coffin starts to vibrate and come off the coffin, so we know that Superman's not dead. So he'll be back. If you made it to the end of the movie, that was the last 30 seconds of the movie. You had to make it through the first 2.5 hours before you got to that.
I didn't want to do that.
All right, well, thanks for spending some time with us, Ryan. And
make sure you call us back
and let us know how you did in the Wrath of Khan OP. And we'll be on from 7:30 to 8:30.
The event's on the 16th, so it'll be the week after that. But, yeah, I can let you know how I did, what was up and all that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and you have a great night. Bye-bye.
You guys too. Bye.
Kapla. So, David, let's get back to the Wrath of Khan here before we run out of time because we're only down to an hour.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the Independent Reliant. Now, the stats are the same as the regular Reliant?
Base stats are the same. You get an extra weapon slot. So now you've got 2 weapon, 2 crew. The original Reliant only had 1 weapon and 2 crew. So kind of nice. Still a 180-degree firing arc with a 90 rear. So that's, you know, very offensive. And it's a neat little ship. I mean, it's 20 points and it's not all that durable, but it's there and it's something you can make use of in a fleet. So I like it. Named ability is kind of like a pseudo target lock for disabling shields. So again, an interesting ability, not like, oh wow, that's the best thing ever, but again, something I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Now, Khan, is he the same Khan that we saw? Is this the Gen Con Khan just repackaged, or is this a different Khan completely?
It's a different Khan completely.
So now we have 3 Khans?
Yeah.
We have Gen Con, and OP Con.
I like to call him Hide Con.
Hide Con.
Because he hides upgrades.
Oh, so he's like Sinjin.
Yeah, or Quark.
Quark, yep.
Or cryogenic stasis. He's Sleeping Khan.
Sleeping Khan, yes. Frozen Khan.
Frozen Khan. Cryo Khan.
Cryo Khan.
Cryo Khan.
It's Cry-Con.
Yeah, but he can take up to... he can make up to three of his upgrades hidden, and if he does, they cost exactly 4 points.
Well, that's a nice ability.
Yeah. Now, those upgrades can't cost more than six, so at best, you're saving 6 points total, but that can be huge. Now, I know when you're playing at the picnic table around the salsa bowl and the umbrella stand, the points don't really matter. You're like playing Whose Line Is It Anyways.
Right, exactly.
But for the tournament player, for even if you're playing missions where the points add up, saving 6 points can be a big deal. Plus, hiding upgrades so your opponent doesn't know exactly what's coming at them, that's a big thing.
And you can't steal an upgrade that's not face up, right?
Right, and you can't even, like, you can't disable it, you can't discard it, you can't do anything to it.
Right, it's just there until the other person springs it on you.
Right. So actually, Khan's probably more like the Enterprise Kirk that hides his talents and makes them cost 3 points each. So that's probably the closest analogy. But I really like this Khan. I think I still maybe like the other Khans better. But as you just heard me rave about this Khan, that tells you that all three Khans are actually very, very good, and it depends on what your fleet is trying to do.
Well, good luck getting your hands on a Gen Khan. I think that's pretty much a done deal there.
I was fortunate enough to get one in a charity auction a few years back, and I paid far too much for it. But it was a charity auction, so...
Right.
When the money's going to charity, you worry a little bit less about it.
Yeah, charity is for charity.
Yeah.
So what else do we get in this pack here?
Well, Joaquin's in this pack, but you might as well just run the other one that you got in the first Reliant retail pack, because this one's terrible. It's an action, discard, get +3 to your skill, and convert one hit to a crit for 5 points. Not any good. The other Reliant Joaquin is 4 points, static ability. Every time you inflict a crit, you draw two, pick one, discard the other.
Yeah,
I'd rather do that. Yeah.
Next.
Thank you. Seti Eel. This is the fun card. This is the card that's going to make
people talk about this card, and I what is it?
Okay, so I'm gonna lay it out. I have the Seti Eel. It's your turn to attack. I play Seti Eel. All right. Now, you have one of three choices. You can either let me decide what ship you're going to attack, and it's got to be in your forward firing arc and within range. So if you have any of your ships in your arc, I can make you shoot one of your own ships.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Okay, so you don't like that. Okay, I get that you don't like that. So you can not attack at all and disable your captain card.
Ooh, that sucks too.
Yeah. Okay, so that also sucks. Or you can attack normally. You get to choose who you attack, do whatever you want. But if you do that, you have to discard your captain.
That sucks even more.
There you go. That's why Seti Eel is really cool.
And that's very thematic too. It's almost like
It's
like you took control like he did in the movie.
Right. It's Clark Terrell. Does he turn the phaser on himself? Does he turn the phaser on his friend?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good card.
Does he hold the phaser shaking and not knowing what to do?
Right, that's a good card. I like that one. So far, that makes the whole that one and Khan are really.
Oh yeah.
Really decent.
I think Seti Eel does what I love in this game. It is fluffy, meaning it's super thematic, and it's a great card. It does an effect that's really cool. So they designed it for theme, and it works well.
I like it.
Right? So that's a card everyone's happy, and it's expensive, so not everyone's going to play, because that's 6 points.
Right. But it's a decent card.
Oh, yeah. But, right, you play this game for theme, mostly.
Right.
But you're ecstatic about that because you're like, oh, yeah, that's what the Seti Eel does.
That's exactly what it did. I think that's awesome.
I love it
absolutely.
When that happens. So.
I think that's a great card. Joachmine, I'm not too impressed with.
Yeah. Now.
So let's move on from him.
The other 6-point talent is not as good. And this is an example of somebody not changing costs, I think. So when you attack with your primary weapon, you get 2 extra dice.
That's cool.
It is cool. Also, you can re-roll up to 2 of your attack dice.
That's cool, too.
And then you take an auxiliary power token. It's not that bad.
Okay, that's not bad. You can get rid of that.
But it's a discard.
Okay, that sucks. And let me guess, it's 5 points.
No, it's 6.
Oh, that's even worse.
So here's my thing, right? You're being hit twice with this card. It's a discard, and it's an auxiliary power token. Plus, it's 6 points.
I don't see that card ever seeing a table. Not even the salsa table.
No. Khan can hide it and make it 4. But really, it's just... Here's my problem with it. If you take this and you put it on, like, the scimitar, now you're rolling your 7th and 8th attack dice. If you put this on the Reliant, you're rolling your 3rd and 4th dice. Which one of those seems more valuable?
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's just something wrong about the costing on this card. Like, it should be the cost of this shouldn't be a set cost. It should be the primary weapon of the ship you're equipping it plus something, some modifier.
Right.
So if you want to put it on the Reliant, it's like dirt cheap. But if you want to put it on the Scimitar, it's massively expensive.
And that would make more sense.
It would, because attack dice do not scale linearly. They scale exponentially. Oh, and what I mean by that is your 5th attack die is better than getting your 5th attack die is better than getting your 3rd attack die.
Right.
So
this card is meh.
I want to light it on fire.
Well, that's the name of the card.
I know. Right, if this whole notion of giving you 2 extra attack dice wasn't enough, they also give you a weapon that gives you 2 extra attack dice when shooting with your primary weapon. But if you use it, you have to disable all of your remaining shields.
Well, okay. If you're in the nebula, you're not going to have shields anyways.
There you go. If you have no shields, you have no remaining shields.
Is it a discard? Is it a discard and you get an auxiliary?
No, just a discard.
And is it 6 points also?
No, just 5.
Just 5.
Just 5, but it's a one use 5-point weapon. Now, I know there's more ways to discount weapons, but I kind of hold my head in my hand and go, this is not a 5-point card.
So basically, there's only really two cards worth anything out of this pack. Well, three if you include the Reliant.
Yeah, I think the Reliant is cool, but alone doesn't like make it worth it. Khan is definitely a plus card. And Seti Eel, you're like, ooh, yeah.
Seti Eel's the one I want.
Yeah, Seti Eel's the reason people are going to want this pack. Now, the good news is it's unique. In fact, the only card that's not unique is All Power to Phasers. That's the last card, the 2 extra attack dice, disable all your shields. I don't think anyone's going to want to get multiple packs for that reason. I should note, the generic ship is a Federation Miranda class. So it's not an independent Miranda. So it's just like the Reliant, generic. It goes Fed. So there's nothing like super special that you'd want to get multiple packs of this for.
And I think it's going for like $35 or $40 on eBay right now.
It'll come down. It's because the pack just came out last week. So,
right.
Once people get a hold of them in a week or two as they play their tournaments, it'll cycle. It's because the reason it goes for so much is because people get the kits, open the kit up, and start piecing them out. They don't play the tournaments. They just flip the product.
Right.
I'm not pointing fingers, but it's what people do. And those aren't Star Trek fans. Those are scalpers.
Right.
And that's a whole nother ballgame we can get into. But this is a cool pack. It is super thematic. And now I think if you wanted to play the Reliant versus the Refit Enterprise, you could do it, and you'd have a pretty good time with it.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. You could actually play it right around the Salsa Bowl.
And now they actually have a good Mutara Nebula scenario. Although they did have a good mission with the Mutara Nebula as well.
Now the Seti Eel, we talked about that having animals in the game a couple of shows ago. So when the Klingon pack comes out, are they going to have a Klingon Targ in that pack?
They could, actually. Let's look at the preview pictures. Do they have it?
Because they have the Seti Eel, so why not have the Klingon Targ and have it do something thematic from the episode? Or from the
movie?
Well,
There's no Targ card set for Kruge's Bird of Prey. Because they've got Kruge and Maltz and I don't know all the other names, but they've got two more crew and then a weapon.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. That's
yeah.
The one I want. That's the pack I want because I got to have all the Klingons.
Oh, I know.
I'll have to go to eBay and get raped because I want that one. I've been waiting for that one since the game came out. I'm like, why don't they have this guy? He's the ultimate Klingon.
Did you see the news that at the end of the year they're doing a Klingon Civil War OP series?
No, I did not.
Oh. Yeah, October, November, and January.
Oh, now don't be teasing me like that now.
I'm not.
Telling me the truth because I got Klingon friends now, and I can send them after you.
I'm the one who found the WizKids solicit for the kits, and yeah, they are definitely coming.
So we might actually see the Klingon sisters and Sela and all that stuff.
And like another Gowron and maybe Fat Kimpik.
A warrior Worf.
A Klingon Picard.
Yep, a Klingon Picard, yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a ton of stuff that could happen there.
So before we move on, what's going on around the shipyard?
Haven't done too much with the shipyard because I've been fighting a cold for the last like week and a half. But
that's understandable.
What have I been? If you give me 10, actually here, I'll tell you what's coming up on Warp Core Breach. While I look up what's coming up on the shipyard, Warp Core Breach. So we're doing our full review of the Reliant prize pack. So if you kind of liked my little overview and you want to hear more of the thoughts and kind of tricks of how you can integrate cards and do weird things with it, listen to Nick and me talk about that on the show that's coming out tomorrow. And then we've got a whole bunch of contributors doing awesome things. Faction Reports diving into Dominion, looking at the Breen and specific Dominion, like Jem'Hadar stuff, and how you can use them. And that's really interesting, because when's the last time you heard people talk about the Breen?
Yeah, not in a while.
And then we've got mission segments looking at Long Live the Empire, so it's a Klingon mission. So that's cool.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we've got our first kind of contest build challenge coming up. It's to build the best Zindi Weapon Zero. So that'll be a fun challenge for people.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good. So, yeah.
Oh, all right. Shipyard has the ISS Avenger coming up. That's the thing I've got in the works right now.
Good. And that, when will that be available?
Actually, is that actually up? I may already have that up. If that's up, the next one is going to be probably the Vulcan Nevar.
All right. Excellent.
Oh, now, yeah, the Avenger's up. So,
I've got on the line. I've got Sean. He's going to be doing the Rebel Recon show with me about Star Wars Rebels. So, David, you're welcome to hang out for the next 15 minutes and chat with us about Star Wars. Or if you have somewhere to be, or you're not feeling well, we can say goodnight. It's your choice.
Well, I'm going to give my voice a rest. As you can tell, my throat's starting to fade out. So.
Okay.
I will bid you guys adieu, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, David. Good night. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye. And I believe we have Sean on the line. Can you hear me, Sean?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
All right. So that was David. He's my other co-host. We talk about Star Trek Attack Wing, and I also have another partner GM Chris. We do Star Wars X-Wings miniatures, but you, my friend, are here for a different reason. Everybody, this is Sean, and I've been toying with the idea of doing a Star Wars Rebels show, the animated series, which just finished its second season. And I know David and Chris are very busy doing things, and we do this show every week, so I thought it might be nice to bring in somebody else to do Star Wars. So I put a post up on our page, and Sean got back to me. So, Sean, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you're interested in and what you're hoping we can accomplish with our new segment?
All right. I'm Sean. I'm a giant Star Wars nerd and have been since I was a very, very little child. I'm a game designer. That's my job. I'm going to NYU, and I am a huge dork for Rebels. So I was really excited to see, you know, a chance to do something with that. I think that, it's an excellent sort of, connection and this sort of ligaments between the films. I really enjoyed the Clone Wars. I've been sort of watching the you know, this connective tissue between, you know, these movies, this iconography that we all know and love, and this new this new take on it from a bunch of fresh characters, which I think is a lot of fun to get into.
I was a fan. I went to see Clone Wars, the movie, in the movie theater, and I got hooked on the Clone Wars, and I thought Clone Wars was interesting. There were some episodes that I thought were a waste, but for the most of them were decent episodes that filled in a lot of the gaps, and then they canceled it before Order 66 came out, and then Rebels came on, and right off the bat, I was pulled into Rebels.
They got running way fast. Like, Clone Wars took a while to get into. I have this theory about the Clone Wars movie that the movie was just supposed to be sort of the pilot of the series, and it was never supposed to be in theaters because it really felt more like a TV pilot. And then, like, at the last minute, Lucas is like, well, I'll stick it in theaters. Nobody's going to tell me not to. And he just kind of slammed it in there. It's weird because the episodes that it comprised weren't even the strongest episodes of the first series. But it was, you know, the show, I think, by about middle of the second season, it really hit its stride. And then Clone Wars just came out like a bat to the face and was like, Rebels was just, you just hit the ground running and you're immediately in it, you know. And I maybe it's just the thing of seeing, you know, TIE fighters, stormtroopers, but just felt a lot more.
And hearing the iconic Star Wars music that we're so used to hearing, which we didn't hear much of in Clone Wars.
No, that's true. I was actually looking it up. There's a whole soundtrack for Clone Wars. I feel really bad that I forgot the guy's name. I'll have it for the show, I promise. I'll do my research. There's a guy that did all the soundtrack for the Clone Wars, and I'm pretty sure it's the same guy that's doing soundtrack for Rebels. But I like that they're sort of, you know, they're carrying on the leitmotif musical cues to the eras that they are, you know,
that they're
attached
from.
To.
Now, one of the reasons why I thought it was important, why I wanted to be able to talk to you tonight, is I wanted you to get a chance to meet the fans so they know who you are. And because this morning they dropped something on us extremely unexpected. And, of course, that was the trailer for Star Wars Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Have you had a chance to watch it, and what did you think about it?
Oh, my God. This whole day has been crazy. So among all of my friends, I'm like Star Wars guy. So I spent a lot of the day explaining why there aren't any Bothans in the trailer. And you know, that was another Death Star. Different story. Many Bothans died for the other Death Star, the bigger one, Return of the Jedi. This is not the Bothans died. And then I had to spend the next time explaining to people why Kyle Katarn isn't in it. Because the whole weird EU wipe.
The EU doesn't count.
When it does. Like,
what did you think? Because we only have a couple minutes, so we can do. We haven't decided yet on a date and a time for our Star Wars show, people, but we definitely will, and I'll get that on the mm-hmm. Facebook page when we do. But what was your overall impression of the trailer overall?
Oh God, it's just so exciting. You know, it's. Force Awakens is amazing because it's amazing to see what happened to the universe that we knew and the one that we were in love with and the thing that made everybody fall in love with in the first place. But it's something about just seeing, you know, stormtroopers and AT-AT walkers and all the stuff that you know you've been craving for so long. Yeah, all of that to bring you back to that era and the recreation of the rebel base at the Massassi Temple was just unbelievable. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm going to sound like a really idiot.
As soon as I saw that trailer when she's walking through and they're bringing the X-Wings in and Mon Mothma was standing in front of that screen with the green, weird green lines on it and stuff, I was like, wow, this is a Star Wars movie.
I know exactly why they did it, and it's so that she's instantly recognizable, but I also love the idea that Mon Mothma just doesn't have a change of clothes. She's like
Batman. She wears the same gown in every movie.
Well, I mean, she's only been in... Well, no, I guess she's done three of them now, right? She was
What did she, same outfit on when she was in Star Wars Revenge of the Sith?
No, I think it was slightly different. I think it was a slightly different outfit. She had like a head thing that isn't in this one. But I mean, in this one, she's very clearly dressed in the, like, this is the outfit that I wear to address rebel soldiers and tell them they're going on suicide missions. That's apparently what that outfit is for.
And that was so cool to actually see rebel soldiers walking around instead of just getting blown up in a corridor.
Donnie Yen, what?
Now,
that was
let me
awesome.
Ask you a question. The scene, there's a scene where we see two Imperial guards in the red. We see it looks like some type of hologram, and see
column,
a black cloaked figure kneeling down. I personally don't think that that's Darth Vader because it doesn't. He doesn't have that. People are saying it can't be Darth Vader because he didn't wear a hood, but Anakin did wear a hood in Revenge of the Sith. So
he didn't wear it over his helmet.
He could have had that on prior to Star Wars. We don't know for sure. But
I've heard rumors
that Darth Vader is definitely going to be in this movie. Do you think that was Darth Vader?
I don't know. I think they're trying to expand this entire – and this is kind of what Rebels is doing, right? They're saying this is a huge empire, and there are multiple threats. Having Darth Vader dealing with every single problem is sort of like having – I don't know, like any time we go to war, like Obama would personally go deal with it. Like, no, he's got stuff to do. He's busy running everything. You know, there's dozens of little, and you know, we've got the Inquisitors, and I think it'd be kind of cool to bring those in. There's a lot of talk about the guy in the white being a member of the ISB, the Imperial Security Bureau, which, again, that was an expanded universe thing that's come back into canon because of Rebels. Rebels seems to be the way that things come back to canon.
But didn't we see a guy wearing a uniform similar to that in Star Wars when Darth Vader choked General Taggy the first time?
Yes. The overwhelming theory is that's a Grand Admiral's uniform. So there's a lot of people like, is this guy Thrawn? And I'm like, well, no, because he's a white guy. Yeah, Thrawn's a blue guy.
He's not blue.
But you know, maybe he's the same rank as Thrawn. He might.
But they could change it. They could change that too, because that's been eliminated. So they could change that for the new movies.
Yeah, the thing is they do this weird thing where they'll sort of like they'll take one piece of the EU and they'll say, okay, this is canon, and then you can sort of extrapolate from there. So Knights of the Old Republic had Malachor, and I didn't realize Malachor was already part of canon in Clone Wars because they used it, and I love this, they used it as a euphemism for hell because, you know, it's a little kid's show, ultimately, and so you can't say, why in the hell is that droid here? But they can say, why in Malachor is that droid here? And Malachor was this horrible place in Old Republic, so they kind of brought it in through that. Now, they're not saying everything in Old Republic is canon, but they're saying, you know, that there's certainly leeway, that, you know, that they're saying, you know, that while it's not necessarily all canon, it's also not necessarily all not canon. So it's very interesting with how they choose to play that.
Well, we're out of time, Sean.
All right.
Believe it or not. Can you
Sounds
believe
good.
That? But listen, we are definitely, Sean and I are going to get together. We're going to chat on Facebook. We're going to get a time, and we're going to get a date, and we're going to set up a show. And tentatively, we're calling it Rebel Recon right now, unless we come up with something better. I'll get that posted on our Facebook page.
StarWars.com uses. Let me look that up. It's a good name.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Soon as we come up with something, we will get it on the Facebook page, and we're about to get cut off. So thank you for taking some time to meet everybody, Sean, and I look forward to our Star Wars conversations in the future. And you may the Force be with you.
And you as well. I'll talk to you
soon.
Have
a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, guys, that's our show. Check out our Facebook page. Log on to TrekTalkin.com. You can leave a message for any of us there. You can see what's going on. You can find out our latest shows. You guys take it easy, and we'll see you at 7:30 next week. Bye-bye.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.